The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, what a roller coaster ride yesterday at Tampa Bay. Good morning, Shasky.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the special teams, if it's not going to give us a heart attack, I just don't know what's up, man. Like, it's just, my goodness. And you know what? Give credit to Jacob Cowan after fumbling, making one of the big plays of the game. The team absolutely needed that. I thought Baker Mayfield versus Brock Purdy in the second half was incredible in terms of the competition level. Are they the two best quarterbacks in the league? No. But, man, those two were competing, making plays. And I just want to start with George Kittle. I just think George Kittle is having an unreal season again this year. And
why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You've talked about it for about a month, month and a half. He's the best tight end in 49er history, and he made some plays in this one. There was one where he caught the ball over the middle, covered up, and then plowed about four different dudes and just gave the team life. And then that catch in the end zone, this team is stalling out in the red zone, Purdy's scrambling. He's running around trying to make plays. He points at Kittle as he's rolling to his left, and Kittle threw a perfect pass. But for Purdy made a perfect pass, but for Kittle to do the dead leg and make that catch in the end zone and get both feet down, I mean, you want to talk about just a Hall of Fame play by a Hall of Fame player who's the greatest tight end in Niner history. Like, George Kittle was just unbelievable yesterday.
Well, Ricky Pearsall was great, George Kittle, but I have to start with Shanahan and Purdy, because that's where the Niners go as far as Shanahan and Purdy takes them. It starts with these two guys, the head coach and a quarterback. And yes, George Kittle's having a hell of a season, a first team all pro type season, to catch, to toe tap, play street football there, 2 feet in. But Purdy made a great play of being patient and using his legs and holding the ball, waiting for something to break. But as Purdy is throwing high and a bit inaccurate early on in the game, and he wasn't as crisp, he saved his best for last. When the Niners needed a play, he made a play in the fourth quarter, a la Jacksonville. Kind of reminded me of the Jacksonville play last year where Purdy faced a blitz, cover zero blitz, and he tosses one up to George Kittle for a long touchdown, which put that game away. Down the right sideline, just lofted it up, perfect timing. Now, they didn't score a touchdown on this play, but the play to Christian McCaffrey for 30 yards in front of a coverage bust, and you got to throw it. And you hear Shanahan after the game saying, yeah, I thought he threw it too early, but it was right on time, in the nick of time. It was an absolute dime to CMC. Purdy in the fourth quarter. I don't give a damn what happened the first three quarters. When you needed a play from your quarterback and you needed a throw from your quarterback, this guy, time and time again, he knows how to make them. And he made him yesterday in the fourth quarter, saving the damn season. That's what yesterday came down to.
Oh, I'm totally with you.
It felt like a season eliminator in the NFC West. And you know what? They survived it because the quarterback played great in the fourth quarter. Shanahan dialed it up in the fourth quarter. The defense bent, but didn't break. And Moody finally came through and made the one that counted, man. That was a roller coaster, but you know what? Got to give credit when credit's due. I understand Kittle doing his thing, but the quarterback made plays in the fourth quarter when you needed him to.
That play to CMC, he's on his back foot and he lobs it up back to the inside. Lavonte David, who had a great game, was carding CMC. He got completely blasted right in the numbers, right in the chest. Was it Golson? I forget who the defender was plastering him. And then CMC just doing CMC things, catching it like a center fielder, you know, tracking down a ball like he's Willie Mays. That was an unbelievable play, B. I think most people, when he threw it up in the air, were like, whoa, boy, where are you throwing that? But that was unbelievable awareness. And how many times did Tampa send a free blitzer That guy was getting home?
Well, you heard Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady. They said, look, they were playing a lot of zone against Kansas City. They were back to their blitz packages yesterday. They were blitzing left and right. But Purdy overall, 25-36. And as Brady said, the quietest 353 yards passing he's ever seen. He had the two touchdown passes. He took three sacks. Nice dive to Ricky Pearsall with some velocity, some mustard on a 46-yard catch and run. I want more targets for Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, he looked good.
He had six targets yesterday. I think Pearsall's working his way up to 10 targets a game.
How about on the final drive, he had the anticipation out little route where another blitz is coming, and Brock Purdy, before he even hits the back foot, the guy's not even breaking out. He's like, I am throwing to Pearsall before he breaks. I thought Pearsall was awesome. Your point is well taken. B.
Two catches on that final drive for Ricky Pearsall.
And then the one where it was like a delay and then they used the timeout on that, I thought their clock management was perfect. And for Purdy to get up and spike the ball, like they did a great job. 41 seconds to go. You get the ball back. You got the one timeout. You know, Juwan Jennings making multiple plays. Yeah, Juwan Jennings was awesome as well. How about the recovery by Juwan Jennings on the Purdy fumble earlier in the game? And Tom Brady is like, Juwan Jennings is just aware. He's making plays. I thought Brady was awesome in this game.
Well, Juwan Jennings, 7 catches, 93 yards. He's going to play that X position there at the wide receiver spot. And look, 11 targets, 7 catches. The wherewithal of a final play to catch a pass, and everybody thought, get out of bounds, get out of bounds, and he cuts it back inside, knowing time and situation, knowing that if I break it back inside and get another 8 to 10 yards, we will have time to spike it and line up for a field goal. So Juwan Jennings, the awareness to say, I'm not going to just settle and go out of bounds. Let me pick up another 5 to 10 yards from Jake Moody and make this kick a lot easier for him so he can walk out of Tampa Bay with the win. Juwan Jennings is that dude. Third Juwan. He's your top wide receiver right now alongside Ricky Pearsall. I thought Debo underneath made some nice catches in the way they used Debo yesterday. And, of course, the return of Christian McCaffrey. We've discussed this game for about 8 minutes now. Christian McCaffrey made his return. 19 touches, 107 yards. What do you think about McCaffrey's return?
I mean, the first play of the game was like, oh, my God, he's back. Like, I couldn't believe it. To me, it was the little checkdowns underneath. There were about 2 or 3 of them where he broke a tackle. And, oh, it's a 3-yard gain, 7-yard gain, right? Those are the big plays. I was wincing the whole time, though. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, there was one where he was out in space where he got big chunk. You know, I think it was a run, like a draw of some sort. And I thought he, like, kind of lost his footing. And I'm thinking, oh, like, my heart stopped on multiple times when McCaffrey touched the ball. I know. I wince. I go crazy. He's a football player. He's going to play. I was more surprised. Only one touch. And I get why. Because the game kind of got out of hand in terms of running. Like, you weren't running. Like, they were clogging the lanes. There was nothing to the outside. No cutback lanes were there. But one touch for Jordan Mason. 5-yard gain to the outside. He's out of the game. Guerrero, one, I believe, rush. And one horrible chip block where Purdy almost got destroyed. Like, yeah, it's the CMC show.
You asked me what percentage of plays he would get last Friday, and I kind of snapped back and said, look, if he's healthy, he's going to play. There's going to be no split carries. There's going to be no, hey, for every 2 McCaffrey carries, there's going to be 1 J.P. Mason. 20 minutes into the game, Debo had 2 carries, and J.P. Mason only had 1. Well, what do you know? The game is over, and J.P. Mason had 1 carry for 5 yards. So when it came to Christian McCaffrey, obviously the red zone is still an issue. this season. They're 18 to 38 from the red zone, just 47%, bottom five team when it comes to converting touchdowns inside the red area. McCaffrey didn't cure that illness for the 49ers or ailment or whatever you want to say here when it comes to the red zone. But I thought running the football, 13 carries, 39 yards, you could see where the Achilles is going to be a problem. Didn't see the quick, like there was a couple plays in the run game where he did get a, he had a 13-yard gain, he had a couple 8-yard gains, where I thought, ooh, the McCaffrey ult would have broke down for 30.
Oh, yeah, I get you.
It felt like the jukes was a little stiff. It felt like he was more of a workman-like running back than the quick, shifty, short area quickness. Yeah. Let me get in and out of my cuts. And that's to be expected. Bilateral Achilles tendonitis. So I don't think he was as explosive in the run game. Now, you need him because of his third down blitz pickups, his pass blocking is still excellent. His hands are excellent. But we're not going to see the McCaffrey we saw from the season ago. And how could we with bilateral Achilles tendonitis? It's just not going to be the same.
Well, so I guess like to your point about breaking up the touches and whatnot, like watching the game, I wasn't like, oh my God, they got to get Mason involved. Because I just felt like Tampa was all over. Like they were crowding the line of scrimmage. I didn't think anyone was going to be effective running the ball. I thought Lavonte David and the defensive line was really, really good in this one. And they did a great job mixing up their blitzes and sending free rushers. But when I look back at the overall stats, it's like, maybe you gotta like give one of these other guys a series. I don't know. Be like Garendo clearly has pop, but he's a rook and he misses like the chip block. Brady was talking about it. Hey, it's a chip block, but you got to understand Trent Williams has the guy to the other side and he's completely, you know, going one on one there. You got to hold that block a little longer, you know, on that linebacker. And you know, thankfully Purdy had bulk security and he doesn't lose it there. But like those are the little things of. When you play the young guys, you're going to see the areas of noviceness, if you will. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we've gone this long. B, I don't know what the hell is going on with the special teams. Ronnie Bell made a hell of a play early in the game. Ronnie Bell, I know. Down the ball, Wisnowski, you know, pins them in. Later on in the game, Jacob Cowan had a huge return that I felt gave life to the sideline.
After a fumble on the punt.
But the Darrell Luter getting backed up into him on that fumble was horrible. The three, not one, not two, three Jake Moody misses. One of them was such a bad pull to the left. And then like Debo and Tabor Pepper going at on the sideline. There was a moment in my mind, and you're talking about like coming out of that game, I was thinking, this is not good. I'm not saying fractured locker room. That's going a little too far for me. If I was one of the people on offense or defense, I get being like livid with special teams. You got to feel like they've cost you at least one or two games this year.
Spadoni, pull up the Jerry Rice from a few weeks ago.
Like, I get it.
Fighting on the sidelines because we're at the very bottom. All right, Jerry Rice, after the Kansas City game, when they're down 14-12, and they throw a pick and they lose that football game going away. Jerry Rice joined us the day after the Chiefs loss. And here's what Jerry said about that loss. And he says something that reared its ugly head yesterday down at Tampa Bay.
Back in the day, I'm going to be honest with you. If we played like the way we played yesterday, we would have probably been swinging on each other on the sideline. We would have been fighting each other. That was like, you know, that was not 49ers standard right there. I would say probably what we would do is just simplify everything, go back to route running, go back to where, you know, Brock Purdy is feeling a little bit more comfortable back there in the backfield where he can see the lanes where he wants to throw the football and stuff like that. And let these guys, you know, let these guys earn their money, man. These guys are professionals.
So Jerry, early on in that answer, was talking about just fighting and getting into each other's face, heating people up, showing that you care. And then he starts talking about the wide receivers. Well, yesterday, Debo Samuel, after Moody missed his third kick, Debo gets on the football field. And he has some words for him. And Tabor Pepper started being a good teammate and said, hey, Jake Moody's all right, man. Leave him alone. And Debo said, to hell with you. And he basically just judo chops him to the neck. And it just walks away and shows no respect. So, I mean, listen, if they lose that football game, they lose that football game, yes, we got a problem in the locker room. We've got a problem with this team. Because that was the first crack there that I've seen under Shanahan, where guys are getting into it on the sidelines. But damn it, they needed that game. And Debo Samuel going crazy like that shows me how much he cares.
I totally
how much
agree.
They wanted that win. Totally how much agree. They wanted to get back to San Francisco to take on Seattle with the chance to remain in first place in the division. I understand where Debo was coming from, and I understand where Tabor Pepper was coming from. You need some friction. It's hot. It's 90 degrees. You're sweating bullets. It's 90 degrees in Tampa Bay. It's hot. You're on the East Coast. It's humid. You're in your red jerseys. You're desperate for a damn victory. You're coming off a bye week. Our pets' heads are falling off. Purdy's going out there going, you know what I'm saying? We needed that. And Jake Moody nails that kick, and I'm glad they shed a head in the locker room, gave him his props after the game, saying, you know what? That was a testament to mental strength right there.
He goes right down the middle, and I'm thinking, Shanahan, I thought that was a miss the whole way. Tell me you didn't think the Moody last one, and thank God he hit it, but tell me you didn't think watching it that he pushed it right.
I mean,
did you not think that?
I was thinking, can we go one more play?
Oh, my God.
Well, on the 4th and 6th that he doesn't go for it, and he trots Moody out there for the 50-yard field goal, I'm thinking, Shanahan, what the hell are you doing?
He's not going to
make the 50-yarder.
Early in the game, they passed on the 57-yarder on the first drive, right. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, why are we not going for this?
Maybe that was his distance to pregame warm-ups. It was just 50, 52.
The crazy thing is that we do have a kicking problem. Like, anyone who says we don't, you're full of it. Like, Carlson and whatever the other guy's name was who got hurt, and he's on IR, those guys didn't miss a kick in the absence of Jake Moody.
Well, Carlson missed a point, extra point,
but not a field goal. Not a field goal. So, Carlson was drafted in the same draft as Moody. I'm sorry, man. Like, they got problems on special teams. This is a huge issue.
Well, you're not going to cut a third-round pick.
I didn't say they were going to cut.
You're not going to cut a third-round pick. You're not going to do that right now. I get it. He woke up in the nick of time, and he made a kick.
Thank God.
On the season, he's 16-20 on field goals. All right, let's just – I know yesterday was bad. It was bad. 3 of 6 – he's shaking left. He's shaking right. He's rattled. I mean, Tabor Pepper's getting choked. I mean, whatever. The fact is, he's 16-20. He's 16-20 this year. So you know what?
Do you trust him?
I got no choice but to trust him. All right. What else am I going to do? I've got no choice.
If they lost this game, there were 3 images in my head that were going to happen. Like for the remainder of the season, it's the Debo, whatever the thing was to underneath the
judo
face
chop.
Mask.
I don't know.
I
what
loved
he did.
The judo chop. I didn't even think of a judo chop.
I don't know what the hell it
and
was.
And then it's Bosa like holding the arm of Baker Mayfield as he's scrambling to the sidelines and then ripping a throw for a first down. And then it's Leonard Floyd not wrapping up Baker Mayfield. Can we tackle Baker Mayfield? Nick Bosa, if I watch you crash down, Baker was never going to keep the read option play. And he did. He had a big sack in this game. And the defense did get some big stops.
They got some big stops.
I know.
How about the end of the game? The end of the game, they could have lost the damn game. We're getting penalized left and right.
Oh, my
passing
God.
Interference, late but hits.
When Bosa is, like, holding his hand like he's walking him across the street, every Niner fan is like, Bosa, we're giving you $120 million. Make a play.
Look.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.